Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Amos, chapter 4. In your Schofield Bible, page 936. Amos, chapter 4, page 936, starting with verse 6. We'll read through verse 13. The text verse is the 12th verse. And then there's another scripture I'll turn to in a little bit. Now let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is this thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Now I'll read a scripture. You need not turn to it because of time. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, ye may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Let's pray. And Father, we've looked forward to this service now, since this morning's service. We love these messages about heaven. We're grateful for a place that you've prepared for us. And yet, we do not understand all that heaven's about, and nor should we. But we're thankful to learn things about that place in these evening services. We pray that you'd bless now and help our hearts to be open and tender. Bless our preacher and give him of thy power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now a sermon from a man who's grown old. It's too late for me, Brother Chris. I've already done it now, but I want to speak tonight on the subject, preparing for heaven. Preparing for heaven. I think this is the 10th, I'm not sure, 9th or 10th or 11th sermon I preached on heaven this summer. I want to speak tonight on the subject, prepare for heaven. Father, we have tiptoed through the glory land this summer. We have walked down golden streets and in and out of gates of pearl. We have waded in the river of life and tasted of the fruit of the tree of life. We have measured the city and viewed the city. We have discussed its glory. And now we discuss tonight on how to prepare for it. Bless these moments we spend together. In Jesus' name, amen. For generations, men and preachers have been thundering out the words of Amos, prepare to meet thy God. evangelists have preached on it in the old revival campaigns regularly. Prepare to meet thy God. The usual sermon that is preached is that you need to get saved in order to prepare to meet God. And that certainly is not an injustice to the Scripture. However, there's more to the Scripture than just the words, prepare to meet thy God. It says, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Bear in mind that the nation Israel was God's chosen nation, and the Israelites were God's chosen people. God is not writing here to the saved or the unsaved saying, prepare to get to go to heaven by trusting Christ. God is talking to the saved here, saying, prepare to meet thy God. God tells his people that he's tried to bring them back to himself in order that they may be prepared to meet God. He says, I have tried giving you peace, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. He said, then I wanted you so badly, I tried by sending war your way, hoping that the war would cause you to turn to me, as it often does. Yet, he said, have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Then he said, I gave you health, strong bodies and good health, hoping that would cause you, the goodness of the Lord would lead you to repentance. Yet, have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Then he said, I tried disease. I tried to put you on your back. I tried to put you in the hospital. I gave you disease. He said, thought maybe that would cause you to turn to me, as it often does. But he says, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Then he said, I sent rain, floods to you, thinking maybe that would cause you to come back to me. Now bear in mind, we're not talking about unsaved people getting saved. We're talking about Christian people who are backslidden away from God. He said, I sent floods, thinking that maybe those floods would cause you to turn to me. And don't you think, ladies and gentlemen, that floods like we've seen in our nation, like down in Georgia and over in the Mississippi Valley and so forth, don't you think those are just uh-ohs with God? And God said, I sent you floods, but that did not cause you to return. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Then he said, I sent you drought. I caused the drought to come. And don't you think that a dry summer is accidental? And God said, I sent you that, hoping that the drought would cause you to return. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Then he said, I sent you prosperity. I gave you good jobs. I gave you good salaries. I gave you good houses. I gave you good clothes. I gave you prosperity, hoping that my goodness to you would cause you to return to me. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Then he said, I turned from prosperity to poverty. I sent you depression. I sent you recession. I sent you unemployment. And hoping that that would cause you to turn to me, like it did America back in the depression of the 1930s. And yet he said, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Then he said, I sent you food, ample food, where you could be healthy and eat good food. I thought maybe my goodness that way would lead you to repentance. But he said, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Then he said, I turned the other extreme, and I sent you famine. I sent you hunger. I took the food away. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. So after he said, I sent you peace, and you've not returned, and war, and you've not returned, and health, and you've not returned, and disease, have you not returned, and rain, and you've not returned, and drought, and you've not returned, and prosperity, and you've not returned, and poverty, and you've not returned, and food, and you've not returned, and famine, and you've not returned. He said, okay, Israel, he said, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. He's talking about, not about unsaved people that are not going to go to heaven. He's talking about saved people that will be uncomfortable when they get there. He's talking about saved people living the kind of life that will cause them to be, as our scripture in 1 John 2:28 a while ago, ashamed at His coming, or ashamed when we see Him face to face. There are people tonight in this room with the hundreds that are saved. If you died, you'd go to heaven, but you're not prepared to meet God. You're not prepared for heaven. You've been doing things and not doing things that disqualify you to be prepared. Oh, you'll get to heaven, okay, but you won't have much fun when you get there because you're not prepared to meet thy God. God is saying, I'm going to take you to heaven. Now you get ready for it. Let me see if I can illustrate. Every once in a while, Mrs. Hiles goes out of town for a preaching tour. Behind every great evangelist, there's a husband home taking care of the house. Every once in a while, she goes out of town. Now, when she's out of town, things don't run quite as efficiently as they do when she's in town. For example, there's never a bed made when she's out of town. I think it's dumb. Now, let me reason with you for a minute. I'm going to give you some deep Bible truth. If the bed is not made when I get up in the morning, and nobody is coming to that house all day long, nobody is going to see that bed all day long. Only an idiot would make the bed. Or an idiotess would make the bed. I mean, the Bible says that you've got to answer to God for every idle moment. I could be reading the Bible while I'm making that stupid bed. Now I want to make another appeal to you too. Why wash the dishes? Looks like to me that all those dishes up there in that cabinet ought to be used. She shows partiality to just two plates on the top, that's all. When she's gone, I give every plate a chance. I'm going to preach the truth whether she likes it or not. I think. But then, just before she gets home, it's a busy place. A very busy place. The other day she was in West Virginia. She left on a Friday. She's going to come home. No, she left on a where she was. She's somewhere preaching in some citywide crusade. But anyway, she's supposed to get home on Saturday. So, everything was in its usual disorder. I was about ready for bed. And by the way, when she's gone, the chairs are against the doors. All the lights are on. Just precaution. But all of a sudden, late at night, the hall light flipped on. Oh, somebody's in this house. She wasn't due home till the next day. And I thought, somebody has broken in my house. So I crawled under the bed and did what any real man would do. But I did go to the hallway trembling. I mean, I knew the lights were not on automatic. Somebody had flipped the hall switch. Now, I scared to death. I almost had a heart attack. And after that, I almost committed murder. They had let her come home early. Now, I'm her husband. She's my wife. I wasn't glad to see her. Things just were not ready. I was ashamed at her coming. And that's what God is saying here. I don't know how that fits, but I'm going to work it in this sermon. You wait and see if I know. Now, one of these days, God's going to call you home. You don't know when it is. Jesus is going to come one of these days. You don't know when it is. Now, what he's saying is this. He's saying that you ought to be so walking with him and have your life so clean. Now, the house is not... she's home. She's my wife. I'm her husband. But the house was not as clean. My house was not in order. Now, God is saying that if you're not living a clean life, and your house is not in order, and your life is not clean and pure, God is saying you are not prepared to meet thy God. He's saying, clean up your life, straighten up your life, behave yourself. I know you're going to heaven when you die. Now, get ready to go to heaven. Prepare to meet thy God. I was on an airplane. We had a man in our church. He's in heaven now, who's a pilot for United Airlines named Ray Newton. I was flying for many years, I flew on United Airlines. In fact, I fly over 50 or 60,000 miles a year on United Airlines alone. That's beside all the others. And that's what makes me a premier executive, which means that I have special privileges. They always put beside a pretty girl on the airplane, and special privileges like that. But anyway, I'd never seen Ray Newton, and I always wondered, why haven't I seen Ray Newton? He flies all the time. I fly all the time, every week, and why haven't I seen Ray Newton? Well, I was flying to Texas, and they had the names of the pilot and co-pilot up there where you could see it just outside the cockpit. Listen to me. And there it was, Captain Ray Newton. What I didn't understand was, and didn't think of, I was not on United Airlines. I said, boy, I've always wanted to fly with Ray Newton. Ray Newton was a pilot of United Airlines. I was on American Airlines. But I forgot what airline I was on. You all saw the Ray Newton. Stuck my hand in my pocket like this. Walked up to the cockpit door. Jerked the door open and said, this is a stick-up. It was the wrong Ray Newton. Now, I was going to Dallas, but I wasn't prepared to go to Dallas. Because my behavior made it where I did not want to land in Dallas. Because when I got there, I was questioned. And I thought that I had already had reserved reservations behind bars. I mean, imagine what happened if you said, this is a stick-up. And then I tried to explain. I know Ray Newton, and this Ray Newton said, no, you don't. Well, I said, yes, I do. Now, the truth is, God is saying here that some of us are living in such a way and behaving in such a manner that we'll be ashamed at his coming. Let me illustrate again. It's an old illustration. I use it again. I was preaching in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It was a real cold spell, was in Minneapolis, Minnesota. In fact, it was about zero or below. I flew from Minneapolis, and the next night I was going to preach in Phoenix, Arizona, and Scout's Honor crossed my heart, and hope Brother Colston dies. It was 100 degrees in Phoenix, Arizona. I got on the plane in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I had on a black overcoat, black winter suit, black shoes, a black winter hat. I got off in Phoenix, at Phoenix Airport, 100 degrees. I put on my overcoat, stepped down, all these people down there in these Bermuda shorts, so I got mine out. there I was, stepping down off the plane, down the steps in Phoenix, Arizona. In those days, they didn't have these runways that lead from the airplane to the gate and these hallways, and so I stepped down, and folks began to laugh. And I didn't know why they were laughing. And they laughing, and then they started pointing to me. I thought, good night. What's wrong with me? And it dawned on me. One fellow said, look at you. I said, sure. What's wrong with me? He said, you're in Phoenix. It's 100 degrees. You got a big old cashmere overcoat on and a hat. And now I was I was landing in Phoenix, but I wasn't prepared for Phoenix. You know why? Because I wasn't dressed like I should have been dressed. And a lot of you women this summer are not prepared to meet God because you're not dressed like you ought to be dressed. Don't you tell me you can lay around on a beach, stripped half naked, showing your thighs and your cleavage and your breast to a bunch of lustful men. And don't you think for a single second that men don't look at you and think that's advertisement. But don't you tell me you can lay around on a beach half naked, out of here in the dunes or somewhere, or Chicago beaches. And don't you tell me when you get to heaven, you're going to be prepared to meet your God. You'll go to heaven, okay, if you're saved, but you're not prepared to meet your God. Don't you tell me you can walk around here in shorts all summer long, letting men see your thighs and look at you and size you up like a judge does, a pig or a calf at a county fair. Don't you tell me you can do that and be prepared to meet your God. Oh, but you say, I'm saved. Well, I go to heaven if I wear shorts. Yes, you may go to heaven if you're saved and wear shorts, but you're not prepared to meet your God. Will I go to hell because I go mixed swimming? Nope, you won't go to hell because you go mixed swimming. If you're saved, you go to heaven. But if you go mixed swimming, you're not prepared to meet your God. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the average Christian in America today is saved and on his way to heaven, but he's not prepared to meet his God. Another old illustration. I went to Jamaica to preach. Dr. John Rice and I are preaching there in Jamaica together. He went on Saturday and preached on Sunday, and I came and joined him on Monday. I landed at the airport in Jamaica, went to customs there. You had to have your baggage checked and your credentials checked. And so there was a room over here on this side, on this side over here, where the people were that hadn't been checked yet. Once you got checked and approved, you went to a room over here on this side. Well, I was over here on this side waiting for customs, and they said, Dr. Hiles, why are you in Jamaica? And I said, I'm here to preach. And they said, what church are you preaching at, or what convention? I said, don't know. I hadn't even thought. They said, you mean you don't know where you're preaching? I said, I don't know where I'm preaching. And they said, this sounds suspicious to us. Anybody coming to Jamaica to preach ought to know where he's going to preach. Well, I said, I'm here to preach, but don't know where I'm going to preach. Then the customs official said, what is the name of the pastor of the church? Those questions always throw me. And I said, I don't know what the name of the pastor of the church is. He said, now don't you tell me that you came all the way from Chicago to Jamaica and you don't even know the name of the pastor of the church of the church. I said, okay, I won't tell you, but it's true. I don't know the name of the pastor of the church. He said, we're taking you in. Now, folks, I was in Jamaica, but I wasn't prepared to meet Jamaica. I wasn't prepared for Jamaica. And a lot of you folks are saved. You're going to end up in heaven one of these days, but you're not prepared to go to heaven because you're not living like they live in heaven, loving like they love in heaven, forgiving like they forgive in heaven, behaving like they behave in heaven. And so, all of a sudden, I looked over, and there's this little archway like that on the other side where the free people, and here was the guys going to jail over here on this side. And there was Dr. John Rice. Whew, was I ever glad to see him. I said, hey, that guy right there is the best friend I got in this world outside my family. I said, hey, he'll vouch for me. He'll tell you I'm here to preach. He'll tell you what church, name of the pastor. Guy walks over and said, are you Dr. John Rice? He said, yes, I am. He said, Dr. Hiles over here. He said, would you vouch for him? And Dr. Rice looked over like he looked off. You know, he said, I never saw that man before in my life. I checked into my hotel. They were so glad to see me. The owners of the hotel had heard about me, and they were so glad to have Dr. Hiles in their hotel. They treated me like a king as I checked in. Their little daughter, a little five-year-old girl, came up, and I said to her, oh, my, you are something else. You sure are pretty. You're a little sweetheart. And I went to my room. They didn't speak to me all the rest of that week. I was there a whole week. They didn't speak to me. They treated me like a king when I walked in and like a criminal the rest of the week. Never said anything. I'd go by the desk to get a paper or something. They wouldn't even speak. They're mad. Going to the airport on Saturday morning, I said, Pastor, those folks got mad at me. What did I do wrong? He said, you called their daughter, a five-year-old daughter, a sweetheart. Well, I said, she is a little sweetheart. But the pastor said, that means prostitute in Jamaica. So I'd said to that little five-year-old girl, you're a cute little prostitute. I was preaching on door knocking. I said, I ought to get out here and knock on doors.
house to house, knock on doors.
They didn't like that. I said, what's wrong? Pastor stood up and said, what do you mean, knocking on doors? I said, you go out and you witness to folks from house to house. Oh, he said, you mean hold dogging. I said, hold dogging? Yeah. We don't have doors in our houses. We just have dogs in the doorway to keep people out instead of a door, keep them out. So we don't go up and knock on a door. We say, hold dog, hold dog. And that way folks come to the door. And so I preached a whole sermon on going to all the world and a hold dog. Boy, you ought to hear. Great message. What we need is some hold doggers. I mean, go house to house and hold dog. Now, wait a minute. I was in Jamaica, but I wasn't prepared for Jamaica. Because I had not, listen carefully, I had not learned the language of Jamaica. You rock music crowd, you may go to heaven when you die, but you're not prepared to meet God because you've not learned heaven's language yet. You hippie crowd, you people that use the lingo and the language of the hippie crowd, that's cool, man, cool. Or, hey, you got any bread, man? Bread's to eat, not to spend. You folks that use the world's lingo and the world's language, you may get to heaven, but you're not prepared to meet God. This Youth for Christ Christianity, this young Jesus freak kind of Christianity, rah-rah for teen, this charismatic mess we got in America, I mean this Pat Boone kind of Christianity, this Johnny Cash kind of Christianity, go to a nightclub and sing on Saturday night, go to church and sing on Sunday night, that's not Bible Christianity. We may be saved, but we're not prepared to be God. Talking to folks all over this room tonight. You'll go to heaven when you die, and that's all you're interested in. But I'll tell you one thing. When you get there, you're not prepared, and you're not going to feel real comfortable for a while. Let me explain why. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse number 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. That word adoption is the word for majority as opposed to minority. A major as opposed to a minor. An adult as opposed to a minor. God is saying here that there's going to be a day when we as His people are going to become adults. Now let's see when it is. Verse 23 again, last part. Even we ourselves grow within ourselves waiting for the adoption. When will God's people become adults? It shows to wit, or that is, the redemption of our body. Now when Jesus comes again, we're going to look like Him. My mother in heaven does not look like Jesus tonight. She has a body that's a spiritual body. That body cannot sin. And the absence of a bad is in that body, but not all the presence of a full-grown child of God is in that body. My mother continues to grow in grace tonight while she's in heaven. She continues to learn the Bible tonight while she's in heaven. She continues to learn to praise God more tonight while she's in heaven. But she's still a minor child in the family of God. And she'll not become an adult child until Jesus comes and the rapture takes place and her body is raised from that mausoleum out there and reunites with her spirit, and then she becomes like Jesus. Which means that until between now and the time Jesus comes, she's not yet an adult spiritually. She's still a child growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Turn, please, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse number 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, one verse. Let's read it out loud, ready? To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of His saints. When will we be unblameable? When will we be mature? Christians, adult Christians, at His coming. Now turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John 3:2, I'll read it. You look carefully as I read. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And if doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, when will my mother be like him? When he appears. Now, what does that mean? That means, hear me carefully now, that means that when you die and go to heaven, you will enter heaven at the same spiritual level of growth that you leave earth. You'll love the Bible. The first day you get to heaven, you'll love the Bible just as much as you loved the last day on earth. You'll love to praise God the first day in heaven just as much as you love to praise God the last day on earth. Because you'll not yet be grown. You'll not yet awaken His presence. You'll not yet be like Jesus. You'll not yet be an adult. What God is saying here, He's saying that when you die and go to heaven, your enjoyment, now listen carefully, your enjoyment of heaven will be in direct proportion as to your spiritual enjoyment of things of God on this earth. Don't you think for a single minute that you're going to walk out of the service during the invitation on Sunday morning like some of you backsliders do. Don't you think for a single moment you're going to do that and get to heaven and all of a sudden the first day you were there, look down and shout in heaven because a bunch of folks got saved. If you don't like to see, if you were here this morning and didn't want to see those people saved and died this afternoon, you wouldn't have enjoyed in heaven seeing people saved tonight. You will enter heaven with the same spiritual growth that you leave earth and continue to grow until the rapture, and then you will be like Jesus Christ, and then you become an adult. Let me illustrate. Do you know baseball very well? Okay. Could I go to a ball game with your wife just for a few minutes here? I promise I'll behave. We're going to sit side by side, 6 inches apart, but side by side. Mrs. Price, you and I go to a ball game. Now, we're at the same game. We're sitting exactly the same place, best seats in the house. Cost, your ticket costs the same as mine. And we're sitting there. And I'll say, oh, a hit and run. So you'll hit me and run. Or I'll say, oh, that's a sacrifice fly. You'll say, where's the fly? See, we're the same game, but I'm enjoying it. You know what's going on. All of a sudden, I say, hey, he stole a base. Oh, he shouldn't have stolen a base. Or here comes a fellow from the bullpen. You say, where's the heifer pen? Now, we're at the same game. We paid the same price sitting side by side. And yet, we're not enjoying the game as the same amount. You know why? I know the rules. I've read the rule book. Some of you folks, if I said tonight, you quote 10 verses out of this Bible, or you'll die, you'd have to go to the holy city immediately. You don't know the rule book. And just as she wouldn't enjoy the ball game as much as I would, you're not going to enjoy heaven as much as I am, because they shout in heaven and I shout down here. They read this book in heaven and I read this book down here. They praise God in heaven and I praise God down here. They serve God in heaven and I serve God down here. But you never praise God. Read the magazine, watch the dirty TV more than you read the Word of God. When you get to heaven, you mark my word, you're not going to enjoy it like the rest of us are going to enjoy it, because you're not prepared to meet your God. Amos said, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. He was saying, clean up your act, Israel. You didn't know this book. When you get to heaven, you're not prepared to meet your God. You never clap your hands and praise God. You're not prepared to meet your God. You don't enjoy time with Jesus here. You won't enjoy it there. You're not prepared to meet your God. You never win a soul here. You're not prepared to meet your God. If you're not faithful to church here, you're not prepared to meet your God. If you're not here on Wednesday night for the Bible study, you're not prepared to meet your God. I said, if you're not here on Wednesday night, you're not prepared to meet your God. I said, if you're not here on Wednesday night, you're not prepared to meet your God. If you don't tithe, you're not prepared to meet God. Watch the television set 3 hours a day and 5 minutes you read the Bible, you're not prepared to meet your God. 30 minutes a day in the newspaper and 5 minutes a day in prayer, you're not prepared to meet your God. No more, but I love Lucy. I love Lucy than I hate Lucifer. You're not prepared to meet your God. 1 hour after the service at McDonald's, hear me now, 1 hour after service at McDonald's and not 10 minutes of prayer before you go to bed on Sunday night, and you're not prepared to meet your God. Boy, that narrowed the amens down greatly. Fellowship all night with people. Never pray all night. You're not prepared to meet your God. Cheer yourself hoarse at a ball game and never raise your voice to praise Jesus. You're not prepared to meet God. Say you believe in hell but never win anybody to Christ and get them out of hell. You're not prepared to meet your God. You see poor people everywhere and never feed a hungry stomach or clothe a naked body. You're not prepared to meet your God. Beer in your refrigerator, you're not prepared to meet your God. Rock music on your television or on your radio or on your record player or your stereo, and you're not prepared. And I'm not kidding. You're not prepared to meet your God. Tobacco on your breath, you're not prepared to meet your God. Hatred in your heart, you're not prepared to meet your God. Bitterness in your spirit, you're not prepared to meet your God. Lay around on the beaches and you're not prepared to meet your God. Can't get along at home with your family, you're not prepared to meet your God. Go to sleep during the preaching of the Word of God, you're not prepared to meet your God. Walk out during the invitation, you're not prepared to meet your God. Don't have the fruit of the Spirit, you're not prepared to meet your God. Don't go to church on Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, you're not prepared to meet your God. Go on a vacation and stay in a motel room or lay out of church on Sunday morning because you're on vacation, or Sunday night because you're on vacation, or Wednesday night because you're on vacation, you're not prepared to meet your God. Not in church on Wednesday night, staying at home, you're not prepared to meet your God. You seek revenge against your enemies, you're not prepared to meet your God. You hold ill will against anybody in the whole world, you're not prepared to meet your God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you don't know when you're going to meet Him. Brother Olaf took off Corpus Christi, Texas, to fly out to the western part of America. He didn't know that was his funeral trip. He did not have planned to meet God, but he did. A man came to preach for me years ago in Garland, Texas. Walked up to sit on the platform, sat right there on the platform. I was up introducing him. He fell over dead with a heart attack. He didn't come prepared, planning to die. You never know when you're going to meet God. You got to stay prepared all the time. God's not going to send you a notice and say, I'm going to take you to heaven in a month from now. I'll give you a chance to get right. No, God says... That word prepare is in the linear. You prepare and 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 stay prepared to meet your God. Ray Hart didn't know when he went and checked into a motel room. He was going to meet God from that motel room. Billy Sunday didn't know when he stood to preach that one last time. Stood before a great crowd of people to preach, and they pushed a newspaper in front of him that told about his son being arrested for public intoxication. Billy Sunday looked down and saw the article about his son being arrested, and Billy Sunday said, "Preach Christ!" and held on to his chest and slumped over and never preached another sermon. He didn't know. David Livingston was on his knees in prayer. While he was praying, they found him on his knees. He had passed away. A preacher that I know was preaching, stopped preaching and started shouting and dropped dead while he was shouting. John Pendley didn't know that night when he went home not many months ago, went to bed, didn't know that he was going to meet God during the night. Now what Jesus is saying to Israel is this. He's saying you are prepared to go to heaven, but you're not prepared to meet God, and you'll be ashamed when you meet Him. Oh, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. I say tonight, prepare to meet thy God, O First Baptist Church of Hammond. Prepare to meet thy God, deacons of the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Prepare to meet thy God, choir, First Baptist Church of Hammond. Prepare to meet thy God, college faculty of First Howells Anderson College. Prepare to meet thy God, teachers in Hammond Baptist Schools. Prepare to meet thy God, students in Howells Anderson College. Prepare to meet thy God, Sunday school teachers that lay out and go hither and yon. And even some Sunday school teachers go on vacation and don't even go to Sunday school while you're gone. You're not prepared to meet God. Years ago. Years ago, I was preaching in Philadelphia. Went to my room that night. Every once in a while in my motel room, I have a spell. And that night, I got happy. About 11 o'clock, and I got happy, and I took off my shoes. I always take off my shoes when I get happy. When I'm alone. Take off my shoes when I'm with somebody, they won't be happy. I took off my shoes and got up on the bed. And I often make a trampoline out of the bed. And I was just having a spell. Jumping up and down that bed and praising God. Before I knew it, 3 hours had passed and I was still having a spell. I was shouting and praising God. Hallelujah, glory to God. Woo! Ew! Woo! Wow! Woo! Whoopee! I was having a spell. On my door. Who's there? The man next door to you. What's going on in there? I'm praising God. Can't you sleep tonight and praise God in the morning? I said, why don't you praise God tonight with me and sleep in the morning? He didn't appreciate that. Let's suppose, while I was up there on that bed, jumping up and down, praising God. Woo! Well, glory! Woo! Well, hallelujah! Well, glory to God! Let's suppose I'd had a heart attack and dropped dead. I wouldn't have broken stride. Not at all. I just kept on doing what I was doing. And I'd have felt right at home. I probably wouldn't know I was in heaven. I just kept on shouting and praising God. Said, John the Baptist, I'll meet you later. I'm too busy having a spell. But here you are. You're home watching the box. Barbara Walters is on. Interviewing whore number 5. Oh, ARPA, that's sometimes fat, sometimes skinny woman. Of the darker persuasion. She's interviewing some bisexual pervert. And you watching it. Are you watching the movie? And all of a sudden, oh, and you die. And you wake up in heaven, you'll say, you got cable up here? No, they don't have cable up there. And they don't have Donahue up there. And they don't have ARPA up there. And they don't have movies up there. They don't have whores up there and prostitutes up there. You'll turn on channel 7, that's heaven's channel. And Paul will be teaching Romans. And here you'll be first day in heaven while you're watching television, Paul teaching Romans, here you'll be. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. I'm not talking about getting saved. Though if you're not saved, you need to get saved. But I'm not talking about that. And neither is Amos talking about that. Amos is the book right before Andy in the Bible. Neither is Amos talking about that. Amos and Andy was the last program you should be listening to, by the way. Amos wasn't talking about that. He said, you're God's people, Israel, and God has tried to bring you back to Him. He's tried famine and food, war and peace, prosperity and poverty, flood and drought, health and illness, and none of that has caused you to come back to God. Therefore, prepare answer me, thy God, O Israel. Not yet saved, they're already saved. He's saying, prepare for heaven. Are you prepared? Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight you'd speak to our hearts. May we adjust our lives accordingly to prepare for heaven and prepare to meet our God. I pray for our people tonight and those who share with us this service as guests. I pray that those who are not saved will prepare by trusting Christ, and those who are saved will prepare to meet God by behaving in such a way, talking in such a way, singing in such a way, living in such a way, dressing in such a way, so as we'll be prepared.